93.3 WMMR, it's everything that rocks. Ryan Shuttleworth here, and today my guest hails from Los Angeles, California, where in the early 90s, he and a few of his high school friends from Calabasas High School decided they were going to be in a band together. You know, that little pipe dream that a lot of us had for them has since exploded into international success with multiple platinum records, headlining large festivals, and all the good stuff that comes along with that. They will be returning to Philadelphia for two nights in October at the Met, celebrating the 20th anniversary of their smash record Make Yourself. I have the great pleasure of speaking with their guitar player, Mike Einzinger. Mike, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great. How about you?
I'm doing well. Did I butcher your last name? I've always wondered that. Einzinger, is that correct?
Pretty close.
All right, we'll just go with Mike if that's cool then.
Yeah, you can just call me Mike.
You got it, buddy.
That's an easy one.
You got it. So normally when we sit down to do one of these little chats, like the immediate focus is always on, you know, what's coming up next for a band. But right now it's really cool that we get to celebrate where you guys have been. And that's 20 years of this record, Make Yourself. What's that feeling like for you guys, you know, celebrating this 20th anniversary?
Honestly, it's very surreal. I would never imagine, you know, 20 years ago that, you know, 20 years later, that album and the songs on that album would have connected with such a large audience all over the world. You know, that music remains important to people that really love it. And, you know, I think as a musician, as a songwriter, that's kind of like the ultimate, you know, what more can you ask for, right? Like, if you write songs, like for me, I love the fact that they connected with people, you know, and that's really, to me, what music is. It's all about connecting with people. So, it's pretty surreal. And also, a reminder of how fast time goes by. It's crazy.
Absolutely. And, you know, I love that, you know, music does, you know, create these memories for folks, and it's, you know, these lasting connections. And to tie into that, you know, I'm a really big fan of physical versions of things. I like CDs, I like vinyls for multiple reasons, but one in particular is I like liner notes. Now, I have the CD of Make Yourself in my hand, and I'd like to read this little bit from your liner notes. It goes, "We would like to thank these bands for one or more of the following reasons. A, we beat them unmercifully in the b-ball court. B, they have great hair. C, they got us drunk and took advantage of us. D, we had a great time with them. And E, other." Now, you list a couple of bands here like 311, Korn, Sugar Ray, Black Sabbath. Are there any particular memories like that that are coming to mind?
Yeah, that's funny. I've completely forgotten that I had written all that in the liner notes. And like you mentioned, that, you know, that is one reason why we, you know, miss the physical copies of albums because of things like that. And yeah, it's really funny. We had an amazing time being on the road with all those bands and playing shows together, and just the camaraderie that starts building when you travel with people like that. And those are all bands that we grew up listening to. You know, those are all artists that we really looked up to. You know, Black Sabbath was like, you know, that was like one of the first like metal bands that I like really connected with as a young kid. You know, I think I was in sixth or seventh grade when I learned about Black Sabbath for the first time. And so, you know, just being able to go on the road with those guys, and, you know, we were really young at that time. This is like 99, I believe, when we toured with Black Sabbath. They were like hanging out with us, like Bill Ward and Ozzy and Tony Iommi. Those guys would like come and hang out with us. It was hilarious.
Wow.
We thought that they like wouldn't talk to us, and like, you know, we thought that they'd like be like too cool, or, you know, we were just really intimidated. But they were like very personable and like really like actually would come and like hang out. So it was just a dream, you know, really, for any person who loves music or is in a band or whatever. You know, we just really got to live that dream. It was amazing.
That is fantastic. I can imagine you crossing up Ozzy Osbourne on the basketball court. That would be just an image I would love to see.
It definitely didn't go there with those guys.
Okay, it's one of the other options then. I gotcha.
We did have some pretty hefty basketball games with the guys from 311, with the guys from Sugar Ray. At one point, we were all in the same recording studio, and so we would, like, on our breaks, it'd be like, all right, us versus 311. We would, like, you know, split off into teams, and sometimes we'd mix it up, and we just had a blast.
That's what it's all about, man. It really is. So I want to talk about the two shows that are coming up here in Philly. You're playing the Met for two nights in October, October the 5th and October the 7th, for the Make Yourself and Beyond Tour. The first show sold out, I think, almost instantly, so you guys were cool enough to add a second show. let me start by saying, is it correct to say that we're going to hear this record in its entirety at both of those shows?
I would say that's a very high probability, or some version thereof.
Well, that was my next question, because I heard somewhere that you wanted to kind of potentially rework how these songs are played live. I think you said that it was, you know, people have had 20 years to, you know, hear the recorded versions, but, you know, maybe do another take on these songs when we do them live. Is that correct to say?
We haven't really dug into it yet. We're actually finishing up some new music that we've been working on, but coming up here in the next few months, we're going to really kind of start putting our ideas together. And the idea is to just, you know, create a really awesome experience for our fans that they'll love. You know, so some songs might be, you know, played very faithfully to the original recorded version. Some other, you know, other songs might be rearranged in some way. You know, like we won't know really until we try it. It's a combination of us paying respect to what we did a long time ago, and at the same time, like, trying in certain ways, kind of like breathing new life into stuff that's old. And, you know, we recognize that we, as a band, it does not escape us that our audience, you know, is really in love with those recordings. So we'll be very thoughtful about how we do this, you know. And again, it's all, you know, the whole idea is to do something special for our fans and for the people that really connected with our music.
And is there a specific song on the record you're most excited to do live, maybe you haven't done before, or it holds a special place maybe?
You know, I'm just excited to play that album, you know, like, and honor that album. It's the first album that really connected globally for us, you know, with our audience. We were kind of like a well-known underground band until we put out Make Yourself. And then when we put out Make Yourself, it kind of like connected all the dots. So again, it's like, it's an honor to be here 20 years later and still playing, you know, the fact that people still care about this music is like, to me, it still blows my mind.
I really like the analogy of connecting all the dots. I think that really sums what you guys are doing with this perfectly. So there is something I want to ask about with this concert, and it might be a way to enhance it. You have this, I don't know if it's an app or if it's a service, it's Mix Halo. Can you speak a little bit about that?
So Mix Halo is basically, I mean, I could, the technical side of it would be boring, but it's networking technology for live events. But basically, at the end of the day, like, the end result is you have an app on your phone, and you can open the app up and put in, you know, you can basically use your headphones, and it will give you access to the soundboard, like, directly to your phone. So it's like, you know, basically gives audience members access to the audio that we're listening to on stage. That's the easiest way to describe it.
That's incredible.
Pretty badass.
Can we expect this in Philly for Incubus fans?
So we're doing it on sort of a limited basis for certain VIPs. And so if people are interested in that, go check out the Incubus VIP packages.
Gotcha.
Mix Halo at this point is still a small, you know, growing company, but it's going to start growing fast, like, very, very, very soon. So we're in the smaller stages right now. You know, we've been out, the technology's been out with Metallica for the last, you know, and we've got a residency in Las Vegas with Aerosmith, where they're using Mix Halo technology for their VIPs. So there are a few places right now that people can go check it out. But it's going to start popping up in a lot of places very soon.
That's really cool. And see, I wanted to pitch this to you because I had this idea for like a premium for it, where if somebody paid a little bit extra, they could hear like your stage banter, like, ah, you screwed up that note, or you turn to Brandon, it's like, put a damn shirt on or something like that, you know. In case you needed a business idea for this, I'm here to help.
No, that's absolutely, you know, what it's for. That's what the technology gives for, like, a whole other layer of content, you know, or many additional layers of content. You know, the people that are starting to use it, you know, they'll have a lot of really creative ideas for how it could make, you know, it a better experience for fans, a more immersive experience. It makes it so that you could have concerts anywhere and you don't need a PA system.
I mean, I love where the technology is taking us. That's such a cool thing that you're doing, so thank you for that. I have two more questions for you. The first, just give you a little background on us here at WMMR. Our mantra here is everything that rocks, and we have been a radio station in Philadelphia for now 51 years. Same format, same call letter, same everything.
Wow.
Because we believe in this idea. I mean, we played the White Album when it was brand spanking new, and that's just our ideal is everything that rocks. So you'll hear The Beatles to Metallica. You'll hear Incubus to, I don't know, Inagata De Vita from Iron Butterfly. And that phrase can kind of be interpreted a little differently, but there's one song that I think fits. A couple years ago, you wrote a song with this EDM artist named Avicii, and it was called Wake Me Up. And it was this monster summer smash pop hit, and I love it so, so much. And I know you were recently on Jimmy Kimmel with Al Black, who sings on the record, to celebrate the life of Avicii, who's no longer with us. What does that song mean to you, and what is working with, you know, a guy who does electronic dance music and a soul singer? What does that mean to you coming from a rock background, really?
You know, I was, you know, really shocked when Avicii passed away, and, you know, still continually, you know, sort of processing his death. And, you know, he had a big impact on my life, not just me as, like, a musician and a songwriter, but, you know, he actually, like, opened me up to a whole world of music and people I never would have been exposed to. And, you know, he's such a gentle person, such a kind, gentle person. He just wasn't cut out for, you know, the life that he was living. And it was just, you know, it was just too much for him. You know, we just hit it off. Like, I met him a few years ago. We were connected by mutual friends, and he wanted to make music with me. I didn't really know who he was at the time, and he sought me out. And when I met him, I was just like, man, this guy is really, like, special. And so, you know, Wake Me Up was actually the first thing that we ever tried to write together.
Wow.
And then, you know, Aloe came into the mix, you know, just a few hours after we started writing the music for what became Wake Me Up. And, I mean, it all just happened in this really effortless way that is reminiscent of, you know, all the sort of most connective Incubus songs. They all happened in this sort of, like, state of flow where, like, everything just really fit together in a way that wasn't labored over. And the song Wake Me Up happened that way. I can't tell you that I knew it was going to be like a global hit the way that it became, but a lot of people were saying that from day one. And I just knew it was special. It just felt like a really special song. And it was a kind of a melding of things that would not really seem like they would go together. And it fit together perfectly. And so, you know, I'm really grateful to both of those guys, Aloe and Tim Avicii, for just being open-minded enough to work with me on that. And I'm just really thankful and grateful that I was able to participate.
And it's such a beautiful song, so thank you for that from the bottom of my heart. I do have one final question for you, and you kind of alluded to this earlier, and it would be criminal of me not to ask. I need to know the status on new Incubus music, because Brandon keeps sending weird teases about this. I don't know if you know about this or not. He sent our music department like a playing card game, and its name was Two Doors, Deuce Portes, an Optimistic Memory Game. And we put it out on social media. Is that the title of the record? And he just sent clapping emojis. So did we crack the code, or what's the deal?
That's just like a fun project that Brandon, you know, was working on. He sent me the same, you know, thing. No, it doesn't. That doesn't have anything to do with the new music that we've been writing, but we do have new music, and we're, you know, we've been recording kind of just, you know, as we've been writing, we've been recording as well. We have new music to release. We're not exactly certain yet about, like, when we're going to release it. We'll definitely have new music come out before our tour in September. So we're still planning that all out now. But, you know, again, the emphasis of the tour and the focus of the tour is to honor Make Yourself. So we're kind of like, you know, we're sort of trying to figure out, you know, what the right way is to release new music while we're trying to honor the older music that we put out. So we're in the process of figuring that out. But we've got, you know, we've got some really cool stuff to share, and we're looking forward to sharing it.
Well, we are really, really excited for new music. We're really excited for this tour to come through, Mike. Once again, Incubus is coming back to Philadelphia for two nights on October the 5th and October the 7th at the Met Philadelphia to celebrate 20 years of Make Yourself. The first show is completely sold out, but the second still has some tickets available. You can find that at themetphilly.com. Mike, thank you so much for taking the time. And when you come back in October, let's sit down and do this properly, okay?
Sounds good.
All right. Thank you so much again, Mike. Look forward to seeing you soon.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.